Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and my co-host is...
Barbara Lane.
Barbara, who did we bring in this week?
Mike Emlett.
And?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Winston Smith.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of these guys?
Oh, I'm crazy about them. Love working with them.
Wow, let's get started.
This week we have a personal question that goes like this. Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
Sometimes I can't tell if I'm imagining it or not. That's the problem.
Okay. So
please let me ask. No.
Jordan?
I was thinking more when you were a child, but yeah.
I don't think I did.
Did you like to pretend?
I did. I like to pretend a lot, but I don't know that I had. I don't remember of having an imaginary friend. Yeah.
When I was pretending, I didn't want to share the limelight with some imaginary person. I wanted to pretend I was the cool person. Right. I was the soldier or whatever. The people I was pretending were, they were definitely, you know, in secondary roles.
Right.
Back. I don't remember their names.
What's a cast of minor characters.
What's the funnest thing you've ever seen your kids pretend together? Our kids used to always pretend they were participating in a funeral.
Oh my goodness.
So morbid.
Oh my goodness.
And I kept thinking, what have we done? And then I started thinking, well, I mean, they're all young while Tim's a pastor, and he participated in a lot of funerals, and they went to the funerals and the funeral home. So I thought, well, you know, we'll see how this affects them. Had a lot of backyard
working
funerals.
Tim Burton or something.
Yeah, really.
They love Tim Burton movies, actually.
Wow. I remember one time when my daughter Lydia dressed up our son Luke, and I don't remember how old he was at the time. He was old enough to talk, but
not old enough to protest.
Yeah, at least initially, in sequins and high heels and kind of a boa
That's
feather.
That's what happens when there's an older sister. Yeah.
Glam rock.
So he comes down the steps, Mommy!
That's great.
I remember when my son was like, I don't know, maybe four or something. I remember I don't know if he got this off television or something, but he found a pair of my wife's pantyhose and he put it over his head so that the legs were like hanging off the top of his head like long ears.
This poor kid.
They were black hose. And he ran around the house calling himself the Dark Bunny.
That's pretty creative.
I can't be your poor great. Son is devastated when this gets out.
He was four, everybody.
He was four.
Not 14.
Nice. Good. You know, last night my daughter took her Minnie Mouse doll and put it to her chest and said she was, of course, she was nursing Minnie Mouse. And she said, Daddy, do you have bosoms? And I said, that's one of those first questions I guess. Okay. Daddy doesn't have bosoms.
We call those muscles, honey. Yeah. That's from going to the gym.
That's right. She gave birth in our bed to Minnie Mouse. And so that was a wonderful imaginary experience.
She's a sweet older sister.
Yeah, she is a sweet older sister.
With the puppy. The puppy.
Yeah, with the puppy. So this week we're going to talk about hoarding. And we have a question from our Ask the Counselor series. It goes like this. What biblical principles come to bear upon a person who is a pack rat to the extent that they hoard things all over the inside and the outside of the house, and it is beginning to take a toll on their marriage? They don't see it as a problem, and they refuse to get help. What are some possible factors that would contribute to this behavior, and how should a spouse respond biblically to one who is stuck in this pattern?
I mean, first, I think I'd want to refer people to Ed Welch's recent blog post.
Definitely.
On hoarding. I think a really excellent introduction to the problem that I think is it's very complex, and I don't think there's any one thing that you can point to as, if you will, as causative. I mean, there's certainly meaning invested in possessions and objects that ultimately ends up hurting the person and their loved ones. But we're all somewhere on the spectrum there in terms of how we view our possessions and their significance and their value and their meaning and how closely our identity is attached to them.
Can I borrow your car?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to... It's full of trash.
No. So I think there are a lot of factors that go into that, including some what seems to be some real difficulties in, if you will, executive functioning, the ability to plan and make decisions and to organize and things like that. So they're probably both body and heart issues that are involved in this struggle.
It's not something that I have any sort of counseling experience with, so I want to be careful when I speak about it. But I think as a general biblical principle, whether it's hoarding or any other issue, I mean, the Bible always brings this question to me. What are you doing with people and relationships? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? So I agree with Mike. I want to understand what this means to the person, because that's part of loving them and helping them work through the issue. But part of helping them work through the issue is sort of lovingly kind of challenging them in how this is affecting other people, and that their duty in love and to follow a Lord of love means they have to take this problem seriously. They have to be willing to be challenged in it and to want to grow through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not often until you're either a serious health risk in terms of there's so much clutter that Department of Youth and Family are involved in terms of potentially taking children out of the house, or a spouse who says, unless this changes, I'm out of here. Those can be some initiating events that help a person see this really is a serious problem, because there are plenty of people who don't see it as a problem, or don't see it as a serious problem.
Yeah.
Until it gets to that stage.
How do we look at possessions biblically? Winston, you like to say on a micro level of things. So, I mean, hoarding is the big, we see that when we go into someone's house and we can't walk around. But each of us struggles, I would say, on some level, I know I do, with possessions, sharing. I have a friend of mine who likes to use my minivan. It's my only car. And every time she uses the minivan, I wince, because I think, oh, Lord, please don't run into the curb or a dog or, you know, something to damage the car instead of worrying about her or caring about her. And there's a confession. And so I'm wondering, how on a micro level does hoarding affect us, or is that a different issue just about possessions?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was watching the television show, and I was watching the guy who was the psychologist or whoever it is coming in and trying to get this woman to let go of a pen because she had collected so many pens. And I felt very self-righteous watching her, thinking, why can't you just let go of the pen, you know?
Right.
And then I felt convicted after I watched the show, thinking, okay, I'm doing that every day. Mm-hmm. There is something I'm not willing to let go of or get messed up, or, you know, I'm holding on tightly to.
Right. We're all somewhere on that spectrum in terms of how much do our possessions have a hold on us. And it's just, it's a matter of degrees in some ways. The basic dispositions of the heart are there for all of us in terms of investing too much meaning in this, or I think this sense of having to, I mean, one common issue for people is thinking, I may use this, I may have use for this at some point down the line, and so they hold on to it, and I can identify with that, but at the same time, I think that pushes us to consider the providence and sovereignty of God, that if I need something, He'll provide what I need down the line. I don't have to store and hoard and stockpile for those things to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. I think as you're talking about it, Mike, you can see how at root it can boil down to in whom or in what am I trusting, and that it's the constant temptation for the sinful human heart to want to trust in self through the agency of what I can touch and feel and call my own, versus trusting in a God who I can truly know in an immediate way, but I can't see with my eyes or touch with my hands.
Thanks for coming in again this week.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.